Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you joined us for our latest episode. We're excited about our episode today. We have a return guest, one of our earliest guests. He did such a good job, we waited like a year and a half to have him back or something like that. We're pleased to be joined today by Scotty Studer, all the way from the Nashville, Tennessee area. Scotty, welcome to the program.
Hey, Adam. Thank you. It's great to be here.
If people don't know, the first time Scotty was with us, about a year and a half ago, something like that, he spent some time talking about the screen-free weekend that he and his family go on each year, and we will link to that particular episode in the show notes for this episode, and so you can jump back and find that one as well, and hopefully you will go back and listen to that if you have not already. But Scotty, for those who don't know you, take just a minute and let our listeners know something about you, your family, what you do for a living, and all that sort of good stuff.
Sure. So I live here in Nashville. I've been here since 1998 after graduating from Freed Hardeman, and worked with Adam when he was the pulpit preacher here at the Lebanon Road Church of Christ. Went to Freed Hardeman with Adam, so we have a great, wonderful history together, appreciative of his friendship and opportunity to get together today. So currently full-time, I work in IT. I've been doing that for almost 20 years now. I work for a company called VMware, but that's kind of the boring side. That's, you know, the question you answer when, hey, what do you do for a living? But recently, over the past 6 months or so, I've been putting together really some thoughts that I've had swirling around in my head for 3 or 4 years now into a book. I've never had a real huge lifelong desire to become an author per se, but sometimes God puts a message on your heart, and you know, with a little bit of help and a little bit of guidance, it's been an exciting adventure. So I don't want to say I'm an author just because that still sounds to me a little bit weird, quite frankly.
I know that's doing very well.
So I still say I'm an IT guy, but this has been a wonderful blessing and opportunity, and I'm just excited to share what it is about and hopefully, you know, add value to people's lives.
We appreciate it. Appreciate you a whole lot. And I totally understand that thing about, you know, I've written a couple of books, but I never said, are you an author? I guess, technically. I just don't really put it on the resume, you know?
I know.
It seems weird for some reason. But,
I know.
But that's all right. But Scotty is a deacon at the Loving Road Church of Christ and always very helpful there. And he and his family are just good friends of ours, and we appreciate them so much. And the book that we're going to be talking about today, this being A Legacy of Faith, it deals with his book deals with several different areas of life. We're going to focus on a couple of them because, frankly, we want you to buy the book and read it instead of just telling you everything that's in it. But also, we're going to talk about some areas that fit what we do here on the program. But the name of the book, Scotty, is Small Changes, Big Results. And you said this is something that's been on your mind for some time. Kind of walk us through just that. You know, why this is something that's so you're so passionate about, and kind of why the Small Changes, Big Results thing is something you wanted to put in book form.
Sure. So I guess the kind of the story began really almost 4 years ago now, summer of 2012. And my wife Allison and I were celebrating 15 years of marriage. And we had the opportunity to go kind of on the bucket list kind of anniversary trips. We took a cruise to Alaska, and it was an amazing trip. In preparation for that trip, though, if you've ever been on a cruise before, you realize one of the most wonderful things about a cruise is the endless supply of food. And of course, that can be a blessing and a curse. And so to that point, there's some nights where you got to dress up and look fancy for a couple of dinners. And so we were out shopping, mainly for me, some for Allison too, but mainly for me, because over the years, as many men do, my waist size had grown a little bit, and I couldn't fit in a suit. I had one black suit, but I couldn't fit in it. So we went shopping for a suit. And that was kind of a surreal moment for me, quite frankly. It was one of those things where I had to buy a pair of pants that I never thought I would have to buy. And so we went on the cruise. We had a fantastic time. And then we got back and we started looking at some of the pictures that we took on the cruise. They have opportunities and photographers there, you know, to where you can buy photos and all that stuff. And honestly, it was kind of an aha moment for me because of the realization of I needed to make some life changes from a health perspective. And that's what kind of started this story. It kind of started with my health. I was able to over the course of several 8 months using some natural nutrition, drop about 30 pounds. And I've been able to maintain all of that for the past 4 years. And so that was really kind of the start of it. And from there, I was able to really, I guess, widen my horizons a little bit. Things like I was never a big reader, but through some of the leadership that I was exposed to and through some conferences that I went to and podcasts I started listening to, you know, it was kind of a pivotal time in my life to change a few things. And so through that, I was exposed to a lot of just enlightening information through nonfiction authors, guys such as John Maxwell and Darren Hardy, Zig Ziglar, and these are typically kind of quote unquote big names in this world of self-help books, if you will. But I was really drawn to those guys, and I really enjoyed their messages, and I tried to always take something and apply it to my life. And I wasn't perfect, but I always tried to find something that I really could adopt. And so over the past 4 years, I guess slowly but surely, some things have stuck, right? And they weren't huge things. I could never commit, for example, to reading multiple chapters in my Bible every day. I just couldn't do it, right? I remember, Adam, when you were here, we had several years where we would do the read through the Bible in a year, right? Where you're committing to reading upwards of 1 to 3 chapters, depending on the day of Scripture. And I would always get on the right track, as a lot of people do, right, in January. Mm-hmm. But quite honestly, by the time January was over, I'd fallen off track, if I'm being honest.
Was it the fact that January was ending, or the fact you got to Leviticus?
Maybe a little bit of both.
I've heard a whole lot of people say that. They've read Genesis and Exodus a ton of times, but they just can't seem to make it past Leviticus and Numbers.
That's hilarious. That's great. Yeah, it was almost like it was – for lack of a better term, I was just not committed to it. And that's just one example. There's other examples where, you know, you get on an exercise from a health perspective routine where, you know, I want to get out there or go to the gym. And again, it was just nothing that I would stick with because I felt like, I don't know, I couldn't find just enough to where I could create a win, but also stick to it. And that's what I was really searching for. And so over this time, I've picked up a few things. And for them to stick for me, they had to be small, kind of what I call digestible things that I could do, not to say small in significance, but small in the time that it took, or, you know, the amount of prep time I had to do. And then I could consistently do them, right? So over 4 years, the book focuses on faith, attributes of faith, attributes of building relationships with coworkers and family and children, on health as well, because that was, like I mentioned, that was a big turning point. And then finally finance. So those are my four focus areas. Those are four things I'd love to talk about, quite frankly, which is mm-hmm. kind of what led me to this and breaking down some of those changes.
You mentioned about the idea of when you read books, you don't try to remember everything. I've heard Jerry Barber several times, and some of our listeners know who that is. He's an interim minister, lives in the Nashville area. But I've heard him say several times that when he hears a sermon or when he reads a book, either one, he's not trying to remember everything that's said. His phrase is, he's always looking for a mustard seed. And as you were talking,
you
can't help but think of it, just that same concept of, you know, when I read like right now, Scotty, as we're talking, I'm trying to finish up a 700 and something page book on William Howard Taft and Teddy Roosevelt. I can't tell you what all 750 pages say, but I've learned 2 or 3 stories that have really helped me and have really encouraged me. And I think that's really what we're talking about here, is just picking up the small things that over time make a huge, huge difference. And a lot of the people you mentioned, John Maxwell, Zig Ziglar, for example, if you really boil down their writings, that's a whole lot of what they say too. They're not trying to get you to memorize their books.
That's right.
Get you to get the quote, you know, the quotables and the make this little change, do it for 10 years, and you'll be amazed at what happens at the end.
That's right. And so I've tried to really pick up some of that. And what I didn't realize, because I'd never written any of this stuff down, but in January I kind of have one of those light bulb moments, if you will. I was listening to a podcast, and it was one about health, basically. And it was this gentleman who started from nothing and who basically created his own line of health supplement products. Now, he was into juicing and those kind of things, and that's ultimately what led him to his product. And it was neat just to kind of hear his story. Well, at the very end, the podcast interviewer said to him, he said, "Hey, Jeff, if you had one easy idea that anybody could do from a let's take a step in the direction of bettering your health, what's one recommendation you could make to our audience who are listening today?" And the guy said, "Well," he said, "I'd probably just, you know, let people know, why don't you start your mornings with a glass of water and maybe squeeze a little bit of lemon juice in there?" And then he went on to kind of talk about the benefits of what lemon juice is in its natural form, right? Mm-hmm. We're not talking, you know, manufacturer stuff. He's actually squeezing the lemon into the glass of water, stirring it in, and maybe just sipping on that. And it was kind of at that moment that I thought, huh, I do that, and that is a small change. I wonder what else, if I really kind of sat down and thought about it, that I have either adopted or heard of that I would like to try that I could just kind of jot down. And that's really what was the trigger for all of this, quite frankly. And so it's just neat to see God work in a way that, you know, 3.5 years of kind of, you know, me going through different experiences from a health and from a dedication to more of a spiritual focus, from a personal relationship perspective, finance, and all of these things. Now it's like, okay, now let me literally write out some of those things. And that's what kind of was my trigger moment that kind of led to me writing down. I ultimately wrote down like 70 different ideas, which was pretty amazing. Over a couple of 3 weeks, one would pop into my head and I'd write it down. And then I took up those 70 and really put together the 26 that we talk about in the book.
Right. So there's 26, and the name of the book, as we said, is Small Changes, Big Results. The subtitle is 26 Simple Changes to Improve Your Faith, Finances, Health, and Relationships. So here's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. We're not going to go through all of them because we want people to buy the book and read the book and be encouraged. But let's just take maybe one or two from each area. And since this is a legacy of faith, if you don't care, Scotty, let's do two from faith. Since this
sure.
is a program dealing with that. So and you don't have to tell us everything that's in each chapter, but just to give people an idea, what is one of the simple things? One of the small changes they can make to improve their faith, or if you don't mind, give us a couple under that category.
Absolutely. I'll talk about the one that I kind of offer to folks. You know, I've got a free giveaway of four chapters with all the introductions and stuff. And what I really tried to do in that free giveaway was pull out what I thought were my four best from each category. So I'll talk about in faith the first one there, and then I'll talk about a different one. So the first one that I mentioned there from a faith perspective is Christian music radio. Now, whether that's your preference of a cappella Christian groups or, you know, traditional Christian music radio, I really found a lot of value in that. And so my story real quick was, you know, when I was kind of working the regular commuting job to and from work, I was a talk radio junkie. So there's several talk radio stations here in Nashville. And this was mainly political talk radio, not necessarily sports talk radio. But I was filling my brain to and from work with that. And it's great to be informed. And we all want to know what's going on in the world. But as I kind of sat back and self-evaluated, I realized that I seemed like stressed out because of that. You know, it didn't help the road rage, I guess, Adam, is what I'm trying to say, right? Is the barrage of really negative news or events going on in the world that, quite frankly, Scotty Studer has no control over and will never have any control over whatsoever. But I still found myself getting, you know, I guess angry, upset, you know, to and from work. And so at one point I decided, you know what, let me just try to cut that out of my life. And so I started listening to books on audio or podcasts in Christian music radio. And the beauty of Christian music radio, and I go into more detail in the chapter specifically, is it's just always a positive, uplifting message, Adam. You know, you are a man who loves music. I'm a man who loves music. We've been born and raised on a cappella Christian music. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about, you know, singing along or listening to the words of the praises being sung, and it has a calming effect to me, right? I'm not going to say that it completely, you know, annihilates any type of, you know, the person cutting you off and, you know, you're not upset with them, right? But still, I found myself not showing up to work frustrated or already annoyed because of what I was filling my head in. And so Christian music radio to me provides that way of just letting go and letting God kind of have his moment with me in the way on my drive into work. And so what I suggest in the book is, listen, don't give up every time you get in the car. I'm not asking folks to give up what they really love to listen to, especially if that's something like talk radio. My suggestion is, hey, just for a week, for 7 days on your way to work, flip on your favorite a cappella Christian group or the local Christian radio station and just see, just kind of test it out, quite frankly. See if your mood improves. See if you're not singing along and being edified as opposed to, you know, kind of mentally raising your fists in frustration over things that you can't change or something to that effect. So that's really probably one of the first suggestions that I recommend. There's several other reasons, at least with the local radio stations, they don't have advertisers that you would be worried your kids would hear. So it's a very kid-friendly kind of radio station as well, right? That's another big perk to it that I mentioned. So it's a family-full entertainment to where you don't have to worry about what's going to be said from a commercial, from an advertisement, or anything like that.
Yeah, that's one of those things that – by the way, are you saying we've been away from Nashville now for a year and a half? Are you saying traffic's still bad there?
My goodness.
I figured I'd have that solved. You know, but anyway,
yes.
Yeah, it is amazing. You know, we live now in a small town. My commute to work is literally 2.5 minutes. But even that sometimes, maybe driving to worship with the kids in the car, it's amazing how hearing one worship song between our house and here how it prepares our minds for worship or changes our mood. You know, maybe had a morning where we've been stressed out, getting ready, running late, and all sorts of things, and it's amazing. But as you said, that's a small thing. And just try it for a week. Try for 10 days. See what difference it makes. All right, give us one more there.
Okay. So the next thing that really helped me was what I call my daily devotional time. So as I kind of admit in the book, I for the vast majority of my life, I never focused on a personal relationship with God. And it was to my own detriment. You know, I would try again, and I would fall off the wagon. And so basically, I found a simple little devotional book. It's called Power for Today. It's very popular amongst the Churches of Christ. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, it's the one I picked because Lebanon Road has them available for us. Right. So what I was able to do is basically, it literally takes less than 5 minutes to read through the scripture that's given, to read through the devotional thought, and to read through the prayer that's there at the end, right? And so what I found is if I can wake myself up, if I could not hit snooze, if I could only hit snooze once instead of twice, right? That's 9 minutes of my life I get back, right? And so if I did that and got out of bed and sat down at my kitchen table and just simply took 5 minutes. And again, I know God is worth more than 5 minutes, right? But the whole point of what I'm trying to say is small changes, right? So who can't find 5 minutes in their morning to read through this scripture? And usually it's 5 verses. At most, it's like 20 verses or something. So it's not an exorbitant amount of Bible reading, but I love it because the devotional is really about a lesson that the person authoring the devotional learned from that scripture, and then a prayer specifically about that. And I got to tell you, Adam, it really helped me get started and step in the right direction and focus. And it's still to this day a part of my morning routine. I give it more than 5 minutes now, especially during the prayer time. I use the prayer more as a that's a great thing to remember in my prayer. But there's other things, of course, that I want to talk about to God during that time. But honestly, it was really a game changer for me because it didn't require me to kind of come up with something. It focused me, I guess. It focused me in a little way to really start that, and it's really been a great improvement for me. So that's another thing that we talk about, a daily devotional time.
I think that's really powerful, and hopefully one of these days we'll have a whole program just on daily devotionals, because that's one of those things I think people hear, you know, the preacher talk about, or maybe their Bible school teacher is always saying, you need to have a devotion with God, and what they're thinking about is, I've got to come up with like a 45-minute sermon every day, and, you know, delve down deeply into the recesses of Ezekiel and try to figure out everything. But what we're talking about literally is a devotional. We're talking about just thinking something very spiritual. As you said, these resources, Power for Today is fantastic. For those who are listening to this in the show notes, I'm going to link to a couple others that are very similar. 5 Minutes with God from my friends at Start to Finish is a good resource. Meditations in My Heart from Sane Publications is a good resource. All and each of these are 5 minutes or less. Simply walk through a scripture, point of application. Some have a prayer, some don't. Some maybe quote the passage, lyrics of a song, some don't. But they're just simple ways to begin your day or end your day. But as you said, it's going to make a huge difference over just a little course of time when you give God those first 5 minutes or those last 5 minutes or your lunch hour or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. And for me, it's the beginning because it's how I want to start my day.
Right.
There was a book I read over the summertime called The Miracle Morning. And in it, the author talks about 6 different ways that you can kind of start your morning. And one of the things he just mentions very generically is spiritual, right? He combines that with exercise and several other things. But quite honestly, it was kind of the catalyst to say, I can incorporate definitely the spiritual side, and here's how I can do that. And it's been something that's been quite frankly easy for me to stick with over the long term. So
those are a couple of the ideas that you give for the area of faith. Let's take the rest of these. Let's just do one from each of these. So people buy the book. Let's go out of order here. Let's go to health. What's a small change we can make to improve our health?
Sure. So one of the things I'll talk about, one that I don't talk about in kind of the free chapters I give out, you know, just for the podcast today. But one of the things that I've kind of figured out is how I start my day from what I eat. Right. So I was the guy who would sporadically eat breakfast, but it was hit or miss, and it usually wasn't much. And then I was like, I would gorge myself at lunchtime at like 10:30 or 11 o'clock because I was always so hungry, Adam. And it was frustrating at times, but I knew it wasn't a good healthy cycle to get into. And so what I've started doing in regards to health is consuming more protein for breakfast. And I've tried to do that in very creative ways, right? So one of the things that I've done is look at things like Greek yogurt. I make a little egg and ham wrap in the oven or something like that. My goal is to hit between 20 to 30 grams of protein during my breakfast. And I'm usually eating that, you know, between 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And it's just a little change, right? It said instead of the cereal or instead of the donut or instead of whatever it is that may not have a lot of protein, try to find something you like that has protein in it. Quite frankly, I'm not as concerned about other things that, you know, I know some people are concerned about. I don't want to disregard those, but, you know, I don't think you want to just eat a pound of bacon first thing in the morning, every morning, right? As an example, because, you know, there's careful balance there, right? So what I'm suggesting is healthy proteins. And so anyway, what I've tried to do is get at least 20 to 30 grams of protein in my morning breakfast. And what I'm finding is that is sustaining me a whole lot longer. Like, for instance, this morning, I put together scrambled some eggs. I put ham muffin pan. I put ham in a muffin pan and I pour the egg mixture in the ham. I did three of those and I put it in the oven for 20 minutes, baked it at 400, right? That is a super filling, very easy way to have a great protein-rich breakfast. And quite honestly, I ate it like 11:45 only because I had other meetings where I knew I'd be talking and I couldn't eat food. But I really wasn't even starving almost four hours later from when I originally ate that. Right. So it's, again, these are just little things that if we planned a little bit more and just put a little bit of forethought into doing that as opposed to grabbing something quick, then the payoff is we're not hurting ourselves at 11 o'clock eating anything we can get our hands of because we're starving, right? It is more of a way to keep that appetite and keep that under control.
Yeah, that's huge. That's a change that we made some time ago. We eat a lot of eggs for breakfast, and that's one reason why is I usually don't eat lunch until 12, sometimes a little later, and a lot of times I'm eating lunch at 12 because I don't want to be eating lunch right before supper. I'm not all that hungry, but it's amazing what a difference that protein makes. All right, let's go to the area of relationships. Give us one here.
Okay. So one of the ones, again, this is a new one that's out of the book. I call unplugged meals. So I don't know about you, Adam, but I see a disturbing trend among families. I see it among families in the world, and I even see it among families within the churches of Christ, and that is that we have given the attention of conversation over to devices, as opposed to having real honest conversation at the dinner table. And so, one of the things that I talk about in the book is taking a meal, and again, I'm advocating stepping into the change, and that's why I advocate it in this way. But I say, take one meal that you do in a day, or maybe if you always sit down and eat dinner, if that's the only meal you do, then maybe the majority of the meals that you do during the week in a 7-day period, do not, basically everybody puts their phone on the table face down and you stack them up and you're not allowed to touch them under any circumstances, right? No matter what the ding is, no matter what the ringer is. And guess what, mom and dad, you don't get a free pass. You have to play along too, because, you know, the whole goal here is we're trying to be examples and role models for our kids. And the reason I suggest that, and of course you don't have to stack them on the table, right? Go plug them into the chargers, go put them in another room so you're not tempted, right? Whatever the case may be. But I mean, studies have shown, I see it at restaurants. It's a very disturbing trend in my mind where now restaurants, you know, if you've been to a restaurant, you know, they've got these kiosks at the tables where kids can just play games all day long. And parents are bringing the devices to the tables and mom and dad are having conversation and the kids are just, you know, boom, right there in front of their devices. And it just saddens me because, you know, we all have life experiences and I remember the conversations at my dinner table. And I knew as a parent, I wanted to have that time with my kids because kids are busy. I've got a 13 and a 15-year-old and they're busy, you know? And so we try to set time aside at the dinner table the majority of the time. Our rule is there's no electronics at the table. But for those who can't quite make it to that, my suggestion is, listen, step into this change by everybody agreeing, say 3 out of the 7 meals we eat together or 4 out of the 7 meals, whatever it is, and try to step in and see if you don't find value in the conversation that you're having with the kids at the dinner table. So that's one of the chapters I just call Unplugged Meals.
That's huge. I love that. We try to do the same thing as often as we can. You know, a couple other things people could, if they want to take maybe a little bit bigger than a small change. I've heard people talk about doing the same thing, but having someone in the family, you know, the father or the mother, whoever, deciding what the conversation will be about, and they only talk about that one thing for each.
That's great. That's great.
And one other tip we've mentioned on the podcast before, back when Leah and I were doing the podcast together all the time, just kind of extending this a little bit. When she and I go out to eat on a date, we kind of have an unwritten rule that we cannot check our devices. The only exception to that is I get to set my phone face down on the table, and if I hear it ding for a text message, I have the right to pick it up and make sure it's not the babysitter. If it's not the babysitter, I can't respond to it whatsoever.
There you go. That's it. I love that.
That's all there is to it. But it's that idea of I love the word unplugged. You know,
yeah.
It's okay every once in a while to sit down and watch TV while you're eating supper, but not seven nights a week.
Yeah,
And not checking Facebook while you're eating dinner. That's insane.
It is. And it's sad to see it. You know, Chick-fil-A recently, I don't know if you guys got a Chick-fil-A down there or not, but of course we've got them here in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
They just started this, I think they call it a chicken coop box.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that. Have you seen it? Okay, so basically, and I'll probably mess it up, but basically you put your devices in this little cardboard chicken coop box that they give you, and if all the devices stay in there for the entirety of the meal, I think if you bring it back to them and, you know, show it to them, you get a dessert or something like that, right? They're trying to encourage you as a family to sit down and eat at their restaurants and not be distracted, everybody on their own device. I think that was a really cool idea.
Yeah, it's a cool idea, but, you know, it's kind of sad that it takes a corporation to figure that out.
I agree, brother.
It really is. It's kind of a sad state of affairs. All right.
I know.
We have one more area, and that is the area of finances. I know everyone's been waiting to, because we want to hire billionaires and trillionaires and all kinds of stuff. but I don't make $1 million a year.
Yeah.
So what is a small change I can make in my life that will yield big results in the area of finances?
So the one I want to share is chapter 23. I talk about writing down your spending. So finance has been something that I've kind of been really fascinated with ever since college. And one of the things that we did very early on, like literally I remember in our little 600 square foot apartment on my computer from college and opening up Excel and trying to figure out how to put together a budget. And so we've been doing it a really, really long time. And I kind of share that story and that experience and what that payoff has been. But even outside of that, to not scare people, I really just talk about writing down your spending. And so what that means is, and usually I recommend doing it at the end of the day. So to keep track of where your money's going, it is a baby step. It is a step in the direction of managing and controlling the money that you're spending. Listen, I don't want to come across as, nickel and dime everything, follow it to the T. I just want people to don't have control, to get some kind of a control. I remember having a conversation with a coworker. We were on a trip to Chattanooga, and we had a lot of time to talk. And it was funny because I've been doing this for so long. I think everybody does it, Adam. But everybody doesn't do it. He's like, so you write down and record everything you buy? I was like, uh-huh. He's like, and you give it a category? I was like, uh-huh. You know, and it was just almost, it's just interesting, right, to hear the different perspective. But my small, simple change is, at the end of the day, for 7 days, just write down what you spent. You know, I went out to eat and I spent $10 at lunch, right? I went to the grocery store and I spent $100 on groceries for the week. And just write it down. Because then what you're doing is you're having that potential aha moment of, oh, wow, I didn't realize how much my whatever Starbucks was costing me in a week's time frame, or quite frankly, I didn't realize that eating out every day with my buddies is $50, you know, a week if I'm doing it 5 days a week. And it's not to limit you per se; it's to open your eyes to reality and help you and your spouse or your family make a decision as to where you're going to prioritize your spending. I try to shy away from the word budget. I like to use the word spending plan, right? Because God has blessed us and continues to bless us. And the first line item that we need to have in our budget, in my opinion, is to giving, right? So that we can give back the richness that God has blessed us with. But budgeting has such a limiting context to it. I like the word spending plan. It's just a personal preference. But writing down where that money's going so that you can determine how best you want to control and have oversight over the funds that God has blessed you with.
Yeah, I think that's a very helpful thing. One of the things you mentioned there, I think a lot of people would just be amazed at how much they spend on is eating out. Just
yep.
One example. And I think sometimes, like you said, you know, we want to meet every day for lunch or meet, you know, a couple times a week with our buddies, and that's wonderful. It's not limiting. But I think sometimes there's more than one person in that group who's feeling the pressure of, you know, we're spending $30-$40 a week doing this, and it takes one person being willing to say, I'm not sure I can do this every time. Usually it's not the group will fall apart, but they may say, you know what, let's meet at the park tomorrow for a sandwich.
Right.
Bring leftovers from home instead of having
right.
to always have to, you know, eat decent meals at a restaurant or whatever it is. But it's taking right. that step of being willing to write it down and say, wow, we really are spending $1,000 a month on gas. Where are we going?
Because now that you've got 7 days of record, you know, our weeks, I don't know about your weeks, but our weeks are pretty similar, you know, unless we're going on a vacation or doing something unique. Our weeks and our spending are pretty similar, because now what you can do after 7 days is say, oh, okay, well, if I multiply this times four, I could probably get a general idea as to what I'm going to spend in a month on that. And so now we're taking steps towards, you know, maybe potentially looking at creating, you know, a more budget plan. Again, not to limit, but to track the spending and adjust as necessary, and make sure that the family itself is not doing and spending in such a way that's going to cause harm to the family from a financial perspective and those kinds of things. So again, it's a step in what I think is a very healthy way towards approaching your finances.
All right, so Scotty has been generous enough today to share with us five suggestions from his book, but that's just five out of 26. And I know he hadn't just sat there and read the chapters to us. There's a whole lot more information in the book in each of these chapters. So, Scotty, take just a moment, if you don't care, and kind of give us the commercial. Where can people get the book? How can they get the book? And just one more time, why should they get the book? Small changes, big results.
Sure. So the initial release is on Amazon, their self-publishing platform called KDP. It's going to release on May 18th. I'm actually kind of releasing it to the rest of the world, if you will, at a 99-cent price, right? It's not that I want to make a ton of money on this book. I just want to add value to people's lives. So look for the book to be on sale for 99 cents, May 18th, 19th, and 20th. I'll send you a link directly to the link on Amazon so that you can share that in the show notes for folks who would like to check it out. You can also, I've put together a little website, scottystuder.com. So real easy to remember. And I'll have a link to the book from that website as well. And then thirdly, if you just want a simple URL to remember once the book publishes on May 18th, I've got a URL called smallchangesbook.com. That's smallchangesbook.com. If that's the easiest thing to remember, folks can go directly there. But look for it to release around May 18th.
Very good. And we will link to all these things in the show notes. We're giving all kinds of URLs now to people. Just follow the website and see these things. They'll see that the show notes for this episode are found at fawnfamily.com/POD50. Something. I just told you what number it was.
Whatever you're on.
I need to make a small change remembering things. 54, I'm sorry. POD 54. People can find the show notes for this episode. I just looked it up 2 minutes ago, too. But Scotty, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes of your time to share this with us. But more than that, we appreciate you taking the time to write these things down for us so we can see that, you know, we read books, we hear people preach, we get all this stuff, and we think, man, I would like to be better, but I don't have time to make huge, huge changes
right.
in my life. But you're showing us, you know what, it's just a couple of minutes a day, just a couple intentional decisions, and it will be amazing over time what a difference it'll make. And we appreciate you taking the time to share these with us.
Well, it's my pleasure. I picked 26, Adam, because if you apply a change to 7 days, and you apply all 26 changes, you know, in 6 months and half a year, the potential for who you've become through stepping into these small changes 1 week at a time, you could be a completely different person, right, in the grand scheme of these four very important areas of your life. So anyway, I encourage everyone to pick it up. I've got free four chapters that you can download off the website as well. So I'm just happy to get the message out, and I appreciate you having me on.
We're glad to do it. Appreciate you. Appreciate your friendship. And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us this week. Again, the book we've been talking about is Small Changes, Big Results. We'll have all the links in the show notes to Scotty's website, as well as some of the other resources we mentioned on the program today at fawnfamily.com/POD54. And we hope you'll have enjoyed this week's episode. And until next time, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.